Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Little one sitting on top of that other one. You're in the hot seat.
I'll be next. Have myself a little concussion. That's right. And a little, what would you call it? A blooper reel almost?
Okay.
Just a single slow blooper. Yeah. It was quite funny.
It was pretty funny. I don't think Tori finds it nearly as funny.
I think the spirits are out to get her.
I think so. So we're trying it with three of us. We're going to see how the audio sounds. Tori was here.
Yep, I'm here.
She made me a shortcake. It's delicious. Josh made wings. They were delicious.
I haven't tried the wings yet, so.
Big bag.
You should have.
Her and Elizabeth went and got shrimp.
Did you already put it on?
It's still out there on the counter.
Well, I might have to go try them. Yeah.
I didn't have my normal spices, so I kind of had to improvise. They turned out really good.
Yeah, they were delicious. And since this will be the first episode released since then, we've hit 2,000 streams.
Yeah.
Go us! Yay!
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. I hope it doesn't fall. Now I'm scared.
Just quit looking at it.
Okay.
Ignore it.
Okay.
You're going to will it to happen.
Maybe I want it to happen.
You're going to wish it into existence. Mm-hmm.
That's probably what happened yesterday. She put a hex on it.
No, we really literally said, I hope it doesn't fall on your head.
See?
Yeah.
I tried to tell you.
And now the whole entire shelf's probably going to fall on your head.
Yeah, my luck. We talked about how at least it wasn't the alien that fell on you.
Yeah, yeah.
It just had to be the biggest picture out of all of them that fell on me.
That's okay.
But, anyways, I have no idea what it's about or anything.
Yeah, Tori's coming in blind.
Josh is holding the computer. I don't know what's going on, so.
It's a takeover.
Okay, so.
So I kind of decided to do an episode today myself. You know, I say that. I was voluntold that I was going to do.
Well, see, I wanted him to do it so that he could do the research and I could, like, have extra time to get our next episode ready. I felt like I was back in high school doing somebody's homework for him. We did a lot of it together, though.
We did. You helped. We did a lot of the research together. I found quite a few of the articles,
actually. Yeah, the articles were very interesting. Like, when you hear this story, you kind of hear the same stories over and over. I had not heard this side of it.
Yeah, this is the first time for me too. In this detail, I had heard of things like that prior to this, but this was very detailed. There's a lot of really interesting information that I've never really heard of until here recently.
Yeah.
And then throughout my research, I found something else I'm going to talk about on my next one.
Yeah. Is that the one you had me watch in the car? It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll make you do that by yourself. I'm not helping you.
That is rude.
Awesome. Well, that's good, y'all. What is it about?
So today's episode.
We're going to bleep out every time that he gets to say the word of what it is. We're going to bleep it out.
Girl.
So today it's about Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Sasquatch.
Or the Sasquay, or however they say it.
Oh, did you tell Josh about my episode?
Oh, no. I already forgot.
Well, I'm doing an episode soon. Coming up. Do I need to give you a deadline too, like I had to do Seth and Josh? Okay, you got 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
If you're anything sounds like good. Me, you'll wait till the last minute.
Yeah, probably. It's gonna be day up. I'm gonna be like, hey, can we push the date back? So we're doing Bigfoot.
Yeah, and this was actually a lot of fun doing the research on this one. You know, and I thought I knew quite a good amount of information on this, but I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
We did that deep dive in some of this stuff, and there was some really neat information.
I'm finding that with a lot of cases, too, that we cover. Like, you think you know about it, but then you start researching it, and it's like, holy hell, like, I didn't know all this.
Yeah, you just open a can of worms real fast.
And yeah.
Dive into all kinds of different conspiracy theories and
yeah.
Multiple other lines of evidence. It was a lot of fun doing this episode, but I guess with that being said, let's get started.
Okay. Awesome.
So today we're diving into one of the most legendary, debated, and mysterious creatures ever whispered about in North American folklore. Some call it Bigfoot, others the Wild Man of the Woods, but its original name was Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
Sasquatch has deep roots in indigenous culture, oral tradition, and dense wildernesses of the Pacific Northwest.
Where's that at?
Pacific Northwest? Like Northern California, Oregon, Washington.
Okay. Okay. You didn't know either, did you?
No.
Okay.
I thought it was like somewhere in Asia.
I'll stick in Canada.
Technically, parts of Asia that touch Pacific would be the eastern part.
Yeah.
So the northwest would be California, basically California. And there's a lot of big wooded areas up in the northern part of that. When I went there for a little while, I got to drive a little bit around that area, and they had some pretty good sized mountains.
I know Oregon has some huge mountains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Washington, I'm pretty sure, too, right?
I don't really know. I've never been to Washington, but I've been to some of the northern parts of California, and it was pretty mountainous there. And I've heard that Oregon is, too.
Yeah.
Definitely an interesting area over there.
A lot of serial killers.
Lots of serial killers.
Okay. So is Sasquatch a serial killer?
Maybe.
It's a very good possibility.
Just wait, girl.
What? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Somehow we were able to find some information about some things, and some very interesting stuff popped up. All right. So let's unpack the history. Excuse?
I need to wet my whistle.
You're not even talking. Thirsty too.
Okay. I wish you had a straw. I like it with a straw.
Your cup has a straw. Why don't you go make one?
Free.
So let's unpack the history, the cultural significance, the famous sightings, the skeptics, the believers, and of course, that infamous piece of footage. By the end, you'll have to decide for yourself, is Sasquatch man, myth, or maybe he's just a legend?
Man, myth, or legend? Every time I hear legend, I think of Stephen.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. That was one of his big things.
Mm-hmm. What? Stephen Poliosis. He watched How I Met Your Mother like every single night before he went to bed. And so he would say, legend or legend dairy. Yeah. I guess it was something on How I Met Your Mother.
I still haven't watched it.
I haven't either. We need to, just yeah. In his memory.
The word Sasquatch actually comes from the Stehalis people, also known as the Stehalis Nation.
When you said Stehalis, she's like, what?
So, the Stehalis is a group of indigenous people.
Don't ask me to say that word.
she screws it up every single
time. I did yesterday when Tori and I were working on something. I could not say it.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had problems with that word. You've had problems with several words the last few times I've had you read this.
I have problems. The one that's always saying, I just don't talk proper English.
Mm-hmm. It comes naturally.
Rude. Yeah. Let's talk about
it. So anyway, the Stahelis Nation, they live in what is now the British Columbia.
Okay.
Which is, where is the British Columbia? I can't remember. Set up towards, I think it's up towards New York area, isn't it?
I'm not going to lie.
I honestly don't know.
Up north somewhere.
Somewhere up north. And I'm going to ruin this word completely, but in their Alkenimian language.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Now look, this word is...
Take two. Try again.
In their Hakamaleum language.
Hakatula?
I'm not sure. I apologize. Because I totally butchered that word. But the word Saske, or Saskets, a term that refers to a large, hairy being that lives deep in the forest. When settlers, missionaries, and ethnographers began documenting indigenous stories in the late 1800s and early 1900s, they heard about the Saskets.
Saske. I wonder if that's like a sassy Bigfoot. Saske.
Could be. Jazz hands.
Jazz fingers.
Yeah. But as often has happened, pronunciation changed over time, and by the 1920s, Sasquatch was the English version of that word, and it stuck.
Makes sense.
Mm. Well, the other one was...
Jazz fingers.
Jazzy.
Because every time he said Sasuke, you had to do the jazz fingers.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? Sasuke.
Imagine people trying to take you seriously doing that.
Yeah. He was 10 feet tall. What'd you say it was? Sasuke. You know they have a soap called Dr. Squatch?
I use that, Jackson, actually. Jackson. And the deodorant and everything. I love it.
I said Seth. I'm not Jackson. Yeah. Justin Jackson.
Yep. It works really good.
And it smells good.
They got a body wash, shampoo, all kinds of different stuff.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Not sponsored. But could be. But could be.
I totally wouldn't decline an offer. Anyway, one of the biggest reasons the word spread so widely was thanks to J.W. Burns, a school teacher and Indian agent who lived among and worked closely with the Stahelis people. Burns wasn't casually curious. He actively sought out indigenous oral traditions and stories about the hairy giants in the woods. In 1929, Burns published an article in McLean's magazine titled Introducing BC's Hairy Giants. Don't take that out of context.
I thought you were going to say Harry Johnson. I was like, whoa.
That article was a turning point. It brought the word Sasquatch into Canadian popular culture and eventually into global spotlight. Burns quoted firsthand accounts from Indigenous soldiers. Elders. Indigenous soldiers. Oh, my goodness. Let's try that again. Burns quoted firsthand accounts from Indigenous elders who described terrifying, awe-inspiring encounters. One story stands out. A hunter reported, quote, "I was startled to see what looked at first sight to be a huge bear crouched upon a boulder 20 or 30 feet away. I raised my rifle to shoot it, but as I did, the creature stood up and let out a piercing yell. It was a man, a giant, no less than 6 1/2 feet in height, covered with hair, and he was in a rage. I've never ran so fast before or since."
What if he just scared it? Like, he scared him, so he screamed, and then he screamed because he was there just screaming at each other.
You know, the more I looked into it, a lot of people's encounters basically was that experience. It was almost like it was just as scared of them as they were of it.
Yeah.
And in most cases, it seemed like it was more startled than anything else.
Yeah.
Then, you know, of course, when we were younger, we watched Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And never find a Bigfoot.
Yeah. How many? I think they're actually still on.
It's like season 17 or something like that.
And they still
like
have not found Bigfoot.
Yeah. They're still looking.
Which we'll talk about it later, but we had a nice little surprise on that show we watched. We're like, oh my gosh, that's Bobo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it didn't look like him at all.
No. That's wild.
Looks totally different.
Well,
he was one of the characters on the show. That account, whether you believe it or not, captures what so many people describe when they talk about Sasquatch. Tall, powerful, hair-covered, and capable of human-like behavior. To understand the Sasquatch, you have to picture the setting. Imagine the Pacific Northwest, not the cities, but the untamed wilderness. The BBC article that we found described this beautiful land as dense forest, western red cedars, hemlocks, and Sitka spruce that stretch endlessly, broken only by snow-capped mountains and glacier-carved lakes. This is a place where you can walk for days without encountering another human being, where fog rolls through the valleys and every crack of a branch feels amplified in the silence. Which that sounds like a very, very serene
environment. Yeah.
You know, real quiet, I bet.
And then you hear this big old monstrous
yeah.
ape looking thing.
Yeah.
Stomping through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was just thinking.
The Stehalis people have lived in the Harrison River Valley for more than 10,000 years.
Holy.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time.
To them, the Sasquatch isn't a campfire story. It's part of their culture and spirituality. They describe Sasquatch as a caretaker of the land, a protector, and a spiritual being that deserves reverence.
I kind of like that thought of him more. Almost like Mother Nature. Yeah. Like the actual Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Father Nature, I guess.
What makes you think it's a boy?
True. It's true. Some girl needs a shave. She looks fuzzy.
Or what if it's an alien?
Well, you know, there's other accounts where people, and matter of fact, I think we talk about it, they believe that the being itself can shapeshift into whatever it wants to look like.
That would make sense.
So yeah. That's an interesting idea.
And then when they get startled, they forget to shapeshift, so they're just screaming at you, and you're screaming at it.
Maybe so. Who knows? I mean, it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know whether I believe or don't believe.
Yeah.
I believe that there are definitely animals that probably looked similar to it.
Yeah.
The Stehalis flag bears the image of a Sasquatch.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. Their annual Sasquatch Days Festival, which began in 1938, includes canoe races, salmon feasts, and Sasquatch dances. So their whole
festival
that they have is basically about Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And I've seen in a lot of different things where there's a lot of different places that have something similar to that.
There's actually one going on right now, this weekend, in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
In 2017, the small town of Harrison Hot Springs embraced the legend by opening a Sasquatch museum, filled with casts of giant footprints, news clippings, and sightings dating back to 1884, and even a drum and carved mask used in the Stehalis ceremonies.
I wonder if Bigfoot gets embarrassed of his toe.
Interesting question. What do you think?
I think so, yeah.
It happens. We all have crazy toes.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mom. Mom gave us weird pink
toes. It is not your fault.
Yeah, Mom.
It's not your mom's fault.
Yes.
Have you seen her toes?
The museum has been so popular that the Canadian government granted it $1 million to expand.
$1 million.
And if you think about that, a cryptid so woven into culture that it is now an official funding and dedicated museum, that's a crazy thought.
That's crazy. For something that they've never had hard proof of, and they have a whole museum that the government's like donating money to, That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of makes you wonder, like, what they just did with all the alien footage, UFO footages and stuff. Do they know about Bigfoot and they're just not releasing it?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, it's such an elusive thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Go ahead, do it real quick. Wait, Jesus, you gotta say Christ. Hi. You gotta say hi. They've heard you, but they've never seen you.
Hi.
We have to take a small break. Elizabeth had to bring Tori some chicken wings. Yep. Chicken wing, I told you I'm a lining.
They were too good to eat cold.
She don't have my homies.
They're really good, though.
And the macaroni sucked.
Yeah, the macaroni was awful.
It was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Like, this has happened to us twice now. I bought from Sam's the great big freaking boxes of macaroni and cheese. Every single one of those boxes, the noodles were super thin, and when you cook them, they turn into mush. Like, it doesn't, even if you don't even cook them all the way, they still turn into mush because they're so thin.
It's almost like they just melt.
And then this box was like that. But luckily, we only got a couple of boxes. It wasn't a great big one from Sam's.
Kind of scares me where our food's headed.
In my belly.
That is not what I meant.
Oh. My bad.
It means the end of the world is coming.
Oh. I don't know about that.
So we were talking about Idiocracy on this, on one episode the other day. And I'm really bad about picking up, like, cups. And the kids will leave, like, a drink of water in it. And I just dump it in my plants to water my plants with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I dumped it in one of my plants. And it was freaking Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking Mountain Dew. And now my plant is dying.
Yep. You know, because plants love electrolytes.
Okay, where are we at?
Brondo, the thirst mutilator.
That's not where we were.
What the hell?
Have you not seen Idiocracy? Oh, girl.
What is that?
It's the dumbest great movie ever.
We'll watch it tonight. Or I'll turn it. You'll have to watch it tonight when you go to bed.
It is hilarious.
What is it on?
Idiocracy.
I think it's on Hulu right now, too.
Maya Rudolph's in it. Dax Shepard.
That's who it is.
I don't know why I was thinking Elizabeth Banks was in it.
The dude that's in Justin Long. Justin Long's in it. He's in the original Jeepers Creepers. And a lot of the...
They don't have him listed on the cast.
Well, he only plays a very small part.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get busy.
Anyway. Of course, once you step outside of cultural traditions, the scientific community approaches Sasquatch with deep skepticism. Some anthropologists suggest that Bigfoot legends could stem from ancient memories of the Gigantopithecus Blackie, which is an enormous ape that lived in southern China over 100,000 years ago. And I've actually known about that prior because there's been several people on Joe Rogan that have talked about this being a possibility already, which to me is insane because it's this ape creature that literally is 8 to 10 feet tall.
Dang.
It is a massive, massive ape.
How tall are gorillas?
They're maybe 6 foot tall. I don't know.
6 or 7 foot?
I know they're all body. They really don't have big legs, so they're probably not super tall.
Yeah.
But their reach probably makes up for that.
Yeah.
This creature, standing up to 10 feet tall, could have crossed the Bering Land Bridge and, in theory, survived North America's forests. Do you know what the Bering Land Bridge is? Also known as the Bering Strait. So basically when, I guess, the world somewhat froze, the waters kind of receded, and from Asia over to Alaska, there was actually a landmass that appeared because the waters had receded so far and it allowed animals to travel back and forth across the two continents. And that's interesting. So it's very possible that this actually originated from Asia, which is where the Gigantopithecus originally started. And they found bones and all kinds of stuff over there, that creature. And then there's another picture that I've seen. We tried to look it up, but we couldn't find it.
If I can find it, I'll post it.
But it's basically two indigenous people that are holding up this ape. And this ape is just as tall, if not taller, than they are. It is huge. Huge ape. So they think that it's possible that it could be related to that particular primate or that family of primates. And it may have evolved or, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah.
And they don't really think that there's too many of those, if they exist at all.
Yep.
So that kind of explains the mysticism behind it, I guess.
Yep.
And how rare of a sighting it is.
Yeah.
Skeptics argue that sightings are more likely due to pareidolia, the human's brain tendency to see familiar patterns in random shapes, just like people see faces in clouds or the Virgin Mary on a piece of toast. Perhaps hikers mistake shadows, tree stumps, or bears for something stranger. Bonnie Kent, a former search and rescue volunteer who later managed the Sasquatch Museum, admits she once laughed off Bigfoot stories. She joked, quote, "My first response was that people around here used to smoke too much weed and see big hairy guys. But after years of hearing detailed accounts from travelers all over the world, even she admitted there are places in the bush where you feel watched, where the hair stands up on the back of your neck." And I can understand that, because there have been times where I've been out in the woods or things like that where you just get this eerie feeling out of nowhere.
Which you seen something, didn't you?
Yeah, I say that. It's possible that I've seen something. Mm-hmm. Then again, I guess it could have been that
pareidolia.
But anyway, when I was younger...
that pareidolia. I think it's what the girl said.
Who knows? Not in my case, it wasn't.
What happened?
Well, but when I was, I don't know, probably 11 or 12, maybe 13, me and a few of our friends, we would ride our bikes out of town. And my buddy Barnes, his grandpa had some land out there, and it had this big-ass hill. It wasn't a mountain by any means, but it was pretty fucking big. And we used to climb up there and just kind of hang out. It had this rock overhang. And underneath that rock overhang, it kind of had like an area that had cleared out, and it was flat. Mm-hmm. So even if it rained, you had that big rock overhang above you, and it was dry underneath there. So it was kind of like a little hangout spot. And we'd go out there and hang out. Throughout that little mountain, it had a bunch of little crevices that you could literally walk through. They were so wide. And then if you climbed up a little bit further, 20, 30 feet or so, on top of that, it was just grass and trees up there. Really interesting way that it grew out there. It was kind of strange. But anyway, we went out there multiple times throughout our childhood, and we would have like BB gun wars and stuff like that. So sometimes some of us would sit in certain areas and wait till somebody walked out and just shoot them with a BB gun, which was totally normal back then.
Maybe not now.
Maybe not now. They weren't nearly as powerful as they are now.
Yeah.
But anyway, one time, me and my friend Sean, we were hiding at the very top behind some trees waiting on everybody to come up. And we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden we hear something behind us. And I turn around, and a couple hundred yards away from us, there was this creature, or what looked like a creature, standing behind a tree. And it was fucking crazy looking. It looked huge from that distance. And immediately I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. But we get this weird feeling, and it takes off in the other direction. So for some dumb reason, we decided we were going to chase it. So we chase after it. And as fast as we were running, it was moving at least twice as fast as we were. So it gets over to that area where the big rock outcropping was, which was about a 30-foot drop. And it just disappears. So we get up to that point. And as soon as we get there, we look down, and there's absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Can't find anything moving in the trees. Can't find anything moving in the grass. It's like it just disappeared, vanished into thin air.
It shape-shifted.
It was very strange. Very strange. And Sean would back that story up 100%. It was a very crazy experience to have that happen.
Yeah.
Now, it's very possible, I guess, that it could have been a large animal.
Yeah. But that's Oklahoma. What kind of large animal like that would be in Oklahoma?
I really don't know. I really don't
Here,
know.
Here, I would say bear, but...
And it's possible that there were bears in the area.
Maybe.
But I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But of course, like I said, it could have been the pareidolia as well.
You know,
we were...
And then you're feeding off of each other.
Young kids feeding off of each other's, responses to whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard other people's accounts of there being like a squirrel and they thought it was an entire wolf.
Yeah.
Just crazy things like that.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that we just had one of those moments where our brains decided that it was more than what it was. But well, we were also young, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very possible that we kind of just had some crazy thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But it definitely stuck with me. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had anything happen?
I've never seen anything like that. And I'm surprised because, like, when I would go camping with Grandma and Grandpa, we would always go to Salt Plains or Romano's. And when I was with them, I was basically an only child. Like, I was the only grandkid at that age. And I walked all over Romano's and those mountains, huge hills, whatever you want to call them, by myself all the time. But I never saw anything. But that's when I felt the most comfortable, too, is when I was kind of out on my own in the wild, being a feral child.
I mean, that's when I had the most fun, was when I was out doing stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
I always really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How about you? You ever seen anything weird like that?
She has a brother. He looks a little like Bigfoot.
I don't look like that.
No, I haven't seen anything weird.
Yeah. It was definitely something that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
No, it's very strange things.
Yeah.
Like in the old house, in the back of the house, all those woods would be back there, like past where the river was. Like, and I could hear little kids laughing, but there were like no little kids near or anything. And I would hear a man talking, and it sounded like he was like on the phone. And we would see like a rusted old chair. I was just randomly out there, but that was it. Like in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the woods, it was just a chair.
It was a creeper. That was his sitting spot to watch you.
Maybe. It kind of was weird, but it wasn't anything crazy. It was just a chair.
Hearing little kids laughing in the woods freaks me the fuck out.
That's a little weird.
Already made in the back woods too, and it was filled with like candles.
Yeah, it had a bunch of weird stuff in it when y'all first moved in. It was really strange.
Go out there and just sit. And
people live there now.
Just knock on the door, like, look, listen, we used to live here. It was creepy. And now we're here ghost hunting, so don't mind us. We'll be back later. Bye.
Okay. I don't know that it looks like that. Can we come inside? I used to live here. It's the house that built me.
It'd be like us going back to our old house there.
Yeah.
The old single wide that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
That house had weird vibes.
Yeah. We'll have to save that for another day.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy.
We'll have to do one of our little
personal stories.
Personal. Maybe we can do one of those as a short.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Y'all, we're getting so off topic.
I know. I'm trying to like rein y'all back in. Like,
so, like I was talking about how people seem to believe that they shapeshift and things like that. The Stehalis, actually, one of their traditions teaches the Sasquatch can shift forms, transferring into rocks, trees, other animals. And perhaps that's why we've never found remains.
Maybe that's why it vanished within thin air.
I mean, yeah, that's the only explanation I can think of. It just disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know if it turned into something or if I was just seeing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they live out there. So that would almost be like, think about if somebody came into your home. Mm-hmm. You would know how to certain places and hide because that's your home.
You know every little detail about it. Now, we can't talk about Sasquatch without mentioning the most famous piece of evidence ever recorded, and that was the Patterson-Gimlin film. October 20th, 1967, Bluff Creek, Northern California, Roger Patterson, a rodeo rider and Bigfoot enthusiast, and his friend Bob Bob Gimlin, we're out on horseback, cameras ready. They claimed they were simply scouting the area when Patterson spotted movement by a creek. He jumped off his horse and started filming. Now, have you seen that particular video?
Of Bigfoot?
No.
I meant to pull it up and save it on there.
Yeah. But I didn't. So this is one of the most well-known videos that they've ever gotten.
And it's real. It's not AI or anything?
No, this was 1967.
Okay.
There was no AI then.
No one was dressed up?
Well, we don't know because the film is so grainy because of it being that time period. It's really hard to say. There's people that think that I read there's a lot of people that think that there's the movement of the animal itself is too fluid.
Here it is. So he is real.
I mean, it's possible, but that is probably the only footage that's ever been released that wasn't able to be completely debunked. So most all the other ones, they've noticed that it was a mask and things of that nature. But that one right there is something else. So what he captured is about a minute of shaky, grainy footage showing a trail, a hairy figure striding across the clearing, turning its head back towards the camera before vanishing into the forest. That head turn, that single glance, is iconic. Some see it as proof of a living creature. Others as nothing more than a man in a suit, making sure he doesn't trip.
He's hitting that pose.
Yeah. Maybe they were hitting those magic mushrooms, too, and that's why they decided to...
Have y'all seen those Bigfoot edits on TikTok?
No, huh? I don't have TikTok, though.
It's so funny.
I have to show you.
Supporters argue that the film shows muscle movement under the hair, something almost impossible to fake in the 1960s. They point out the creature's long arms, unusual stride, and fluid hip and knee movement, all unlike a human in a costume. Anthropologist Grover Krantz studied the footage for years, convinced the proportions and biomechanics were beyond human imitation. Skeptics, however, remind us that Patterson wasn't exactly as reliable as a reliable figure. He was behind on debt, obsessed with Bigfoot, and might have seen it hoax as a payday.
Get that money!
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I seen Bigfoot, I'd try to record him too.
Mm-hmm.
Now?
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid, I didn't have that option.
I was going to say.
we didn't have phones.
We didn't have phones. Because you're old.
I know, that sounds so old to say.
Back in my day, we didn't have phones. We traveled uphill both ways. We traveled 59 miles.
That was our parents that traveled both ways. They traveled both ways so they could pave the road for us to only travel once. That's what he used to tell me all the time. Even Hollywood effects.
Jeez. Are we okay?
I don't know. Even Hollywood special effects artists are split. Some argue it's just a crude costume. Others admit that if it was a fake, it was decades ahead of its time. The FBI even got involved in the 70s. Not in the film, but in analyzing alleged Sasquatch hair samples. Unsurprisingly, they turned out to be deer and bear hair. The cultural impact of the Patterson-Gimlin film, that's undeniable. Before 1967, Bigfoot was mostly a regional curiosity. After the film, Bigfoot became a worldwide phenomenon. Inspiring documentaries, books, comics, and even spoofs, it practically launched modern cryptozoology into the mainstream. Fast forward to now, Sasquatch. Now I'm from Canada.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, eh? Fast forward to now, Sasquatch hasn't faded. If anything, the legend has grown. We still see news reports of footprints, blurry photographs, and late-night thermal videos. And that brings up another point, you know, with all the hunters, with all this equipment now,
mm-hmm.
You'd think that there'd be more proof.
There'd be something.
I mean, that just, because some of those scopes are insane.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Steven earlier when we'd go hog hunting sometimes. Some of those scopes he had, you could see literally everything.
Yeah.
In the middle of a complete pitch dark. It's insane technology.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they didn't have that back in the 60s.
Yeah, but they do now.
They do now. So that begs the question, where's the evidence?
Yeah, why hasn't he been caught?
Yeah.
He's a sneaky, sneaky snake.
He's very sneaky. There are Bigfoot festivals across North America, reality shows dedicated to finding him, and a thriving community of researchers, skeptics, and believers. Some treat Sasquatch like a flesh-and-blood species hiding in the shadows. Others see it as a spirit, a symbol of wilderness itself, something just beyond human understanding. Either way, Sasquatch continues to spark curiosity, debate, and imagination. So what do we make of all this? On one hand, we have rich indigenous traditions, compelling stories, cultural celebrations, and even physical evidence like footprints and film. On the other, we have skeptics pointing to psychology, misidentification, and hoaxes. The question remains, is Sasquatch a living creature waiting to be discovered? A guardian spirit that slips between worlds? Or simply a myth that reveals more about us, our fears, our hopes, and our love of mystery? Or simply a myth that reveals more about us, our fears, our hopes, and our love of mystery than about the wilderness itself? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I'll just cut out the letter.
Okay. I'll read it again. Or simply a myth that reveals more about us, our fears, our hopes, and our love of mystery. For now, Sasquatch remains exactly what it has always been, a bridge between the known and the unknown. So what do you think, man, myth, or legend?
I want to believe just because it'd be really cool, but scary at the same time. But I kind of like you were talking, well, I look at it both ways. So I'm going to go with the skeptic part. The skeptic part of me is kind of like we were saying. We have so much technology. Mm-hmm. Game cameras, thermal cameras. Like, why haven't they caught something? But then on the other side, the believer side of me, these, like even the Native Americans, they all had similar accounts all across, you know, miles away from each other.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. That they all, I mean, they have so many different names for it, but they all described it the same way.
And something that didn't get said in there was there's places like, Australia.
Yeah.
They have what they call the Yowie.
Yeah, the Yowie.
Which is the same thing.
Yeah.
And then in the Himalayas, they have the Yeti.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing.
And but then again, on the skeptic side of me, we're all humans. We all have, like, is our sight that, like, is it that similar to everywhere to where, like, that's a normal fear for somebody? And so this one has a normal fear and it just kind of.
It's, I guess, possible. But another thing that I heard was maybe it's something that since it's been passed down for so many generations.
Yeah.
That Gigantopithecus was actually something that.
That's such a funny word. The next pet we get, we're going to name it that.
But they think that it's possibly just one of those things that has been ingrained in our subconscious mind.
Yeah.
That we're always in fear of.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like people that have an automatic fear of snakes or spiders.
Mm-hmm.
They think that maybe some of that stuff, that natural fear of predators,
yeah,
you know, kind of makes you aware of the possibilities.
Yeah.
And then your brain kind of tricks itself into thinking that that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe we just haven't found one.
Yeah. Do you believe, Tori?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like what Josh said. We have different versions.
We have different virgins.
Virgins, yeah. No.
This channel just went somewhere else.
After dark.
The Yeti is basically Sasquatch.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing.
I just feel like it might be, like, human nature. You know what I mean?
Do you think it's like more of an entity?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's like a actual physical creature?
I don't think it's an actual physical creature. I think it's more so an entity that can like shapeshift into things. You know what I mean?
Just like a spirit. Like we're talking.
That kind of brings up something else too. I was watching Joe Rogan. And of course, you know, he talks about his DMT trips and things of that nature. But there's other theories out there that say the possibility of us altering our state of mind can kind of show us between dimensions.
Yeah.
I guess, which sounds kind of weird.
Kind of out there, yeah.
A little bit out there. But they believe that whenever people do things like that on mushrooms, it kind of gives them the ability to see into whatever dimension that it is, and that it's possible that in a stress-induced situation that your brain actually produces those same chemicals.
Yeah.
So you're sending yourself into what would technically be a trippy situation.
Yeah.
Without even being conscious of it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I did reach out to try to get some like personal accounts on Facebook. I got two pretty good ones. The first one, her name is Maxine Christensen. She's okay with us using her name. And this is what she sent me. So she said, for more context, we are part of the, I asked her how to pronounce it because we all know how good I am at pronouncing things.
She's not.
I'm probably still going to mess it up. I believe you pronounce it Alatik. Alatik, I believe is how you pronounce it. The Alatik tribe, and they are in southwest Alaska on the peninsula. And she said, so it's not actually about me, but my grandpa and uncle. We live in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, and this takes place around the 70s, not sure exactly the year. The village at the time had about 100 to 150 people, maybe. We have stories about Bigfoot, but we call him the Hairy Man. My great-grandpa gathered a bunch of men around their house one night, and no one really knew why. The house was small and at the bottom of a hill. While Grandpa and Uncle were walking on the porch, talking to each other, they smacked into someone. The porch was a few feet off the ground, and when they looked up, they said it took a second to realize they walked right into the Hairy Man. His eyes were yellow, his hands went down past his knees, and he was ridiculously tall. They turned and ran to tell my great-grandpa, but when they went back, he was gone. My aunt was sleeping in a room that had a window that was 8 feet high. She woke up with the feeling of someone watching, and when she looked up, there were bright orange eyes looking in. Still now, my grandpa makes sure to close all the curtains in the house at night. He talks about seeing the Hairy Man and how scared he was that night often. There's other people in our community and other villages who have also encountered or have found his footprints. So that's kind of interesting.
That's an interesting story.
I feel like that could go into a whole entity thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And this one was really good, too. They wanted to remain anonymous. And they said, I have a possible Bigfoot or feral man with very large hands following me while backpacking alone. And I was like, all right, I'm hooked. I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Please do not use my name. I was very adventurous when I was younger, which is kind of a way of saying I made really stupid life choices. That's how I ended up dealing with the complexities of divorce by age 21. And I will say the way they write, they're really good about keeping you interested. She did really good. She said, I had moved hundreds of miles away from my family and friends and have no one within reach to lean on during my divorce. So I did what any adventurous Sagittarius does, and I made more stupid choices. I enjoyed hiking and camping when I was a teenager, and now I lived in the middle of nowhere in northern New England with ample free time. I started working doubles to have 4 days off a week to go backpacking. I went alone, and I did frequently run into strangers on trails. Normally, it was on day one before getting too deep. Hikers are typically good people, and I never really worried too much. I planned a 4-day trip. I set off early on Monday morning. A few hours in, I made it to the first scenic spot, a little waterfall with a small pool. There were several people there. I got in the habit of scanning people at spots like this. No one carried more than just a water bottle and maybe a small bag. All hikers, no backpackers. There was only one solo hiker. He tried to make conversation with me as I took a few pictures of the water. I was polite, but not inviting, and added in a touch of crazy. After a few pictures, I continued on. The man followed me at a fast pace and then slowed when he caught up. He told me about himself. He asked me questions, nothing too bad, until he asked, "Aren't you afraid to be out here alone?" Which, come on, dude, like...
That's creepy.
That's creepy. I responded with, "Aren't you dumb to assume I'm really alone?" I was referencing the piece of very efficient protection I was carrying, but like on cue, a bellowing, whooping noise came from the far left. The man fiend needing to relieve himself and quickly turned around. I turned and walked backwards until he was out of sight and then increased my pace up the trail to put distance between us. A few hours passed with no one else being seen. It was midday and I passed the point of seeing anyone there just for a day hike, so I slowed to enjoy the solitude. I stopped at some rock formations and found a place to rest and eat. As I was eating, the feeling of solitude left. I knew I was being watched. I heard movement off to the side of me, but focused on appearing oblivious to my surroundings. No hesitation in my movements, no turning towards the sound. As I reached to put my trash in my backpack with my right hand, I snuck my left hand under my hoodie and turned off the safety of my efficient protection. She's a lot calmer than what I would have been. I would have been like... Where you at? Mm-hmm. I'm done. She said, I made sure it was still concealed as I stood up, and I thought about turning around, but I would never make it back before dark. I wasn't close to anywhere people might be, and I didn't even bother to check if I had reception. The safety measures I took before setting up camp for the night wouldn't matter if someone was following me. I didn't really have a choice, so I kept going. 2 hours before sunset, I made it to a spot that I had stayed on a previous trip. I left the trail, and I set up to settle in for the night. I used a single-person tented hammock. If you're not familiar, imagine a fabric coffin suspended between trees. Before this trip, I thought of it like a camping cocoon, but coffin is now a more fitting comparison, which I told her I will never call it anything than a camping coffin here on out. Like, that's hilarious. That reminds me of May, and instead of saying tortillas,
enchilada bread.
Yeah, our middle daughter, bless her heart, she says some wild stuff, and she calls tortillas enchilada bread. Let's see here. I tucked my shoes at the front end of my coffin, but as soon as I was zipped in and out of sight, I put them back on. Instead of reading like I normally would, I wrote goodbye letters in my journal. So she obviously had that fear, kind of like you were talking about, like mm-hmm. just that unsettling feeling.
Mm-hmm. Just an impending doom.
Almost. Yeah. When the light was too weak to pass through the walls of my fabric coffin, I put my journal away. I adjusted my holster across my chest so that the efficient protection was safe and secure, but at an angle I could easily draw from. Then I waited for sleep. I didn't want it to come. But right as I was about to lose my fight to exhaustion, a familiar sound echoed in the distance, and it followed by the sound of something large moving outside my coffin. I stayed as still as possible and kept my breath steady. It was getting closer. I could see nothing, but my eyes still struggled in the dark to find a hint of what might be creeping outside the nylon fabric. That's when it reached out. There were no claws. It wasn't a paw. It was a large hand with fingers pressing into the fabric top of my coffin. When a second hand slid up along my side, I had a pretty good idea of how it was positioned, and I slid my hand towards what was resting on my chest. I took a moment to mentally prepare to make a quick movement, and I froze. My body wouldn't cooperate. Maybe my brain realized how large the hand that slid up my side was, that was cradling my shoulder. I'm tiny, so everything is big compared to me, but my ex was 6'8". I know what big hands feel like on my shoulder, and these were massive hands. So I just laid there, frozen, as still as a corpse in my camping coffin until a whooping sound followed by a whistle came from the distance. Whatever it was quickly retreated. There were some faraway sounds and then nothing until the sun came up. I quickly packed in the morning and cut my trip short. I don't know what it was, but I know it wasn't any known native wild animal. And that was the last time I went back backpacking. I now have at-home hobbies. So I thought that was pretty good.
That was really good.
Yeah, she did really good. Which a lot of people, and which I kind of talked to her about this, everybody says flight or fight response. Yep. Everybody does. But everybody forgets about freeze.
Yeah.
That's way more common than fight or flight. Mm-hmm. Freeze is normally the response that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty good. But to have those hands on your back and not knowing, our kids are being loud. So if this picks it up, I'm so sorry. But yeah, to have that feeling of those hands on your back, that I'm done. I would find some inside hobbies too.
Yeah, that would be scary.
That's terrifying. So yeah, that was Bigfoot.
Yep.
You ready to go walk the woods?
I'm not going inside the woods.
But there was some other information that we found too. You know, of course, it's probably not going to make it in this because we've been running for a while now.
And we're only at an hour 14, and I have a lot that I need cut out, so we're all right.
Yeah. But there was there's a documentary
mm-hmm.
on Hulu, I believe.
Yeah, it was on Hulu.
And it was called Sasquatch, and it's a 3-episode watch.
Oh, this is what you wanted to hear.
Yeah. So basically what had happened was...
What had happened was...
there's this guy that... I come to find out, it's not in the documentary. I actually watched him on Joe Rogan as well.
Take a drink every time Josh says Joe Rogan.
I'm sorry. I really like him. I like his podcast. He's got a lot of interesting people on there that I really enjoy watching.
Yeah.
But he found...
You look like a little Sasquatch over there eating.
He was able to get that guy on his podcast, and he was telling him about how the information in there was correct, but there was a few details that they had omitted.
Missed
up,
yeah.
No, not messed up.
Just they omitted left it on out. Purpose. Oh, okay.
So basically, him and the other guy were in the woods tripping on mushrooms.
Okay.
When that happened, those other guys had come into the building, and they were talking about how they had found those bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 3 bodies that they seen that were completely brutally mutilated. Basically what happens is they get people involved in it at some point and nothing really happens at first. They don't find anything. They find no evidence. They find nothing. Later on, several years later, there's an investigative reporter that starts doing some research on it
mm-hmm.
and ends up finding that there may have in fact been a case where 3 people were murdered. Because in this particular area of California, back in the late 80s, early 90s, is when they were doing illegal grows in the woods.
Yeah, all the pot farms.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Like, the video footage they showed of it, like, when I say pot farm, it would be like...
acres.
Like, almost like where I work at with all the seedlings, but with pot.
Yeah.
It was just wild.
In the middle of the forest. They'd have a great big huge grow.
That's insane.
But there were multiple grows. So there were several different groups of people growing certain things. And throughout them doing that, they had basically gang rivalry. So there would be times where people would come from one camp to another and just go through there and murder everybody in that camp.
What?
Yeah.
And you missed out. You didn't really go into deep. I think you skipped over it. The original guy that was there, that was on the pot farm or whatever, and then he ended up becoming the investigator. They tripped on the shrooms, like Josh said, and they were all hanging out at his boss's house.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're just chilling. Well, these 2 guys come in freaking out going, we saw Bigfoot. He mutilated these bodies, tore them to pieces. They're in pieces everywhere. Like, they were terrified. Well, of course, they're all tripping on shrooms, and they're like, okay, buddy, like, okay, yeah, we'll deal with this later.
Yeah.
And then years later, they start investigating it and come to find out there were 3 people that were murdered.
Mm-hmm. They ended up figuring that out. They were, and then they started looking into it a little bit more and found that there were basically hillbillies in the woods.
Yeah, lack of a better term.
And at one point, they actually found a person that went by the nickname of Sasquatch.
A hillbilly?
I thought he went by Bigfoot.
I can't remember if it was
Bigfoot. I'm pretty sure it was Bigfoot.
I think it was Sasquatch because the name of the show was Sasquatch.
But then they were looking for Bigfoot Gary.
Oh, you're right. It was that.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And you told me I didn't watch the show.
Well, look, you fall asleep every time.
He doubts me, guys. He doubts me all the time. I have to prove him wrong.
And my memory is garbage. I can remember most things, but
yeah,
short-term memory, not so much.
So they research it, and they're the whole time they're thinking it was actually a Sasquatch that killed these guys. But come to find out, it was actually a person, and his nickname was Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And that's the Bigfoot that actually killed these guys.
And he did eventually admit to those murders, but I have yet to hear whether...
If anything happened with it or anything like that.
But it's definitely a good watch.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. It's a little... How do you explain it? Like, it's a little... Campy's not the right word. Like, it's definitely a bunch of stoners walking around trying to find Bigfoot.
It definitely is. And it might have been produced by some stoners.
Yeah.
But it was... It was a good watch.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. And it's only 3 episodes, and they're only like 45 minutes long, so it's not bad.
2.5 hours to waste.
It's not bad.
It'd be a good way to waste it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Bigfoot. Now we're at almost 1 hour and 20 minutes.
That is Bigfoot. And my next episode, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm going to make you do it. That way, it's all new information to me. This one, I kind of knew most of it since I helped you. Okay. I'm going to be surprised.
Surprised. And maybe I can figure it out. You know, I'm not very computer literate, so.
That's okay. I still love you. Well, I still have to wash your clothes because you're leaving me tomorrow.
I am. For 2.5 weeks.
I'm stuck with this thing. Over here eating in the corner, eating freaking chicken wings.
On camera.
Zoom in right there.
Yep.
Right there. All right, guys. We're going to get off here. It's late. Again, we appreciate it. We can't believe we made it to 2,000 streams already. Mm-hmm. It's growing. Keep liking, sharing, commenting. Send us the stories you want to hear. True crime, morbid history. We've got another one coming up with me and Tori. It's not necessarily true crime, not necessarily paranormal, but just kind of a morbid history that was really interesting. So anything you want to hear that you think you might like, send it to us and we'll do it.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stories out there.
For sure. Send Tori chicken.
No, she can't have it. My chicken is the best.
That is true. That is true. All right. We'll see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.